إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شر أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد then to continue with شرح السنة of Imam al-Barbahari رحمه الله with the explanation of Sheikh Salih al-Fawzan, hafidhahullah. Then last time we had points number 10 and the beginning of point number 11. So just to mention some of the matters that we had in the explanation of Sheikh al-Fawzan, hafidhahullah. Then last time we had the point that kalam, theological rhetoric, and argumentation and disputing, these are all new introductions. These are not the correct way to go about attaining the sunnah, attain the correct aqidah. Rather, they are new introductions. And all of these result from ittiba al-hawa, the following of desires. And as for the person who follows what the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam came with, then he will not be a person who has doubts. He will not be a person who disputes and argues and debates about these matters. Rather, he will do what is upon him, which is to submit and to comply with the commands of Allah and the commands of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And for this reason, the Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, the people who are upon the Sunnah, people of the Jama'ah, they do not have differences in the matter of Aqidah. And Shaykh Fawzan clarified likewise that even if a person takes this path, the path of argumentation and debating and disputing, and the path of theological rhetoric, speech based on logic and the Latin philosophy, even if a person following that path happens to come across something correct, then he will still be in error, because the path he has taken is the wrong path. Correct as a conclusion, but even then he will still be incorrect, because the path he has taken is wrong. If we remember, this is something that came in Usul al-Sunnah of Imam Ahmad. Even if a person upon that path attains the Sunnah, happens to attain it, then he'll still be incorrect. That again, kalam, speculative speech, theological rhetoric with regard to the Lord, is a newly introduced affair. It's an innovation and it is misguidance. And as Sheikh Fawzan said, this is the way of the people of innovation. Those who engage themselves in this are the people of innovation. That they speak about Allah, the Most High, and about His names and attributes based upon their opinions, what they think. So they affirm things for Him, and they negate things for Him, based upon their personal opinions. And they explain the texts. First and foremost, the texts of Allah's attributes. They explain those texts in accordance with their opinions, and explain or a second path they take, and most of the two groups that the Shaykh was referring to take that path. They take the texts of the attributes, they explain them away with their opinions, and give them false and wrong meanings. Or a second path is that they say, with regard to the ayahs and ahadith of Allah's attributes, they say, we don't understand the meanings. We affirm the wordings that we find in the book or in the sunnah, but we don't know the meanings. So we do. This is called the way of tafweed. Say we leave the meaning up to Allah. Allah knows what these. We just affirm the words. They're just words to us. So Shaykh Fawzan said, this is making the texts of the book and the sunnah like a foreign language. If you say we know what the word, we can read the word, but we don't know the meaning. An ayah affirming attributes for Allah, they say we don't know. We just said they're making the texts like a foreign language then. You can read the word, but you don't understand what it means. Rather, upon us is to affirm the texts of the book and the sunnah as they are, with their correct meanings that are known in the Arabic language. So the yad of Allah the Most High, the hand of Allah the Most High, and the wajh, the face of Allah the Most High, and the istiwa, ascending high and above, the meanings of these are well known in the Arabic language, and we affirm those meanings. And this is the path of the people of the Sunnah, because of the principles that Allah the Most High is the one who knows best about himself. In the matter of Allah's names, Allah's attributes, Allah's self, speech about Allah, Allah himself is the one who knows best about himself and about other than himself. And from the creation, the one who knows best about that is Allah's Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And as for us, the people, then our knowledge and understanding is limited. There are many things, as Sheikh Fawzan said, that we do not know, even with regard to closest things to ourselves, even our own bodies. There are many things that we do not know about our own bodies. Many, many things. About our soul, the spirit, the soul, the spirit. What is it? And we don't know. Exactly, we can't define exactly what it is, where it is, and so on. So if there are things about our own selves that we do not know, then how can people be bold and speak about their Lord? Speak about their Lord. Likewise, analogy cannot be made between the creation and the Creator, because that would be to belittle the Creator. It's not right to say that we'll speak about our Lord based upon our knowledge of the creation, what we know about the created beings, and draw analogy between the creation and the created, the Creator and the creation, rather. Sheikh Fawzan said that would be a belittlement of the Creator. So Allah the Most High knows best about himself, and he is best and truest in speech, and he is the best able to express what is correct in speech. And he mentioned this was what Sheikh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah brought in his book Al-Wasitiyya. He brought these principles. I mean, contrary to the later people of Kalam, people of theological rhetoric, the Asha'ira and their like, those who delve into these matters contradict texts of the book and the Sunnah based on their intellect. And they say, well, we need to explain these texts in the light of philosophy and theological rhetoric. So he brings these principles. Allah is the one who knows best about himself, and he is best and truest in speech, and he is best able to express in speech. And this is something which even some of the heads of Kalam, theological rhetoric, mentioned towards the end of their lives. They acknowledged this point, that they had wasted their lives in theological rhetoric, and that they should have in the first place just stuck to the texts of the book and the Sunnah with regard to Allah's names and attributes, if they'd only just stuck to what occurs in the book and in the Sunnah. And they acknowledged this at the end of their lives. They just wasted their lives and attained nothing. Then the point continues, point number 11, the first part of which we had last time. So just to read it again, the point where we started last week, and then continue. The point that occurs on page 125, the saying of Imam al-Barbahari, rahimahullah, wa'alam rahimakallah, anna al-kalama fi al-Rabbi ta'ala muhdath, wa huwa bid'atun wa dhalala, wa la yutakallamu fi al-Rabbi illa bima wasafa bihi nafsahu, azza wa jal, fi al-Qur'an, wa ma bayyana Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam li ashabihi. Fahuwa jalla thana'uhu wahidun, ليس كمثله شيء وهو السميع البصير. That's where we covered up to last week with the explanation. And know, may Allah have mercy upon you, that speculative speech about the Lord the Most High is a newly introduced matter, and it is an innovation and misguidance. Nothing is to be said about the Lord except what He, the Mighty and Majestic, described Himself with in the Quran, and what the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explained to his companions. So he, the majestic in renown, is one. And the ayah occurs from Surah Ash-Shura with the meaning, there is nothing like him, and he is the all-hearing, the all-seeing. Then the Imam Abu Muhammad al-Barbahari continues, rahimahullah, ربنا أول بلا آخر بلا منتهى يعلم السر وأخفى وهو على عرشه استوى وعلمه بكل مكان ولا يخلو من علمه مكان. He's saying, our Lord is the first without any when, and He is the last without any end. He knows whatever is secret and what is most hidden. He is ascended over His throne, and His knowledge is in every place, and no place is free of His knowledge. So to continue with the explanation, as occurs on page 131, Sheikh Fawzan said, His saying, رَبُّنَا أَوَّلٌ بِلَا مَتَى وَآخِرٌ بِلَا مُنْتَهَى. Our Lord is the first without any when, and He is the last without any end. Sheikh Fawzan said, Allah the Majestic and Most High is the first without any beginning and the last without any end. He the Most High said, هُوَ الْأَوَّلُ وَالْآخِرُ وَالْظَاهِرُ وَالْبَاطِنُ. Surah Al-Hadid, Ayah 3. With the explanation, He is the first. He, Allah, is the first and the last and the one who is closest. Sheikh Fawzan said, These are names which are opposites. The first, Al-Awwalu, the first, is opposite to Al-Akhiru, the last. And Al-Zahiru, the uppermost, is opposite to Al-Batin, the one who is closest. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explained this ayah in his saying. He mentions the famous dua supplication from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Antal awwalu falaysa qablaka shay, wa antal akhiru falaysa ba'daka shay, wa antal zahiru falaysa fawqaka shay, wa antal batinu falaysa dunaka shay. Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in his dua to his Lord, You are the first, and there is nothing before You, and You are the last, so there is nothing after You, and You are the uppermost one, so there is nothing above You, and You are the closest one, so there is nothing closer than You. In a footnote, the many. Sheikh Fawzan said, this was the explanation of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is the tafsir given by Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But then there came those people who explained it with other than the explanation of the Messenger, who say, Al-Zahir means the one who became apparent to the intellects and who became apparent through clear proofs. And it does not mean that He is above the creation. It does not mean that He is above the created beings or that He is above the arsh, the throne. And even though Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam clearly explained the ayah, yet still people come afterwards and feel they have to explain it, and they give a different explanation, contradictory explanation. Sheikh Fawzan said, so this is batil, this is false and futile. This explanation they have come with is false and futile, contrary to the explanation of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the one from the people who knows best about Allah is Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he has explained this ayah with a clear explanation, that the first one means the one whom there is nothing before him. أَوَّلٌ بِلَا بِدَايَةٍ. The first, with no beginning. Sheikh Fawzan said, "Wal akhir," and the last one. He is the one whom there is nothing after him. Akhirun bila muntaha, akhirun bila nihaya. The last with no end. Rahimakallah. And al-dhahir, the uppermost, is the one whom there is nothing above him. He is above all his created beings. Then Shaykh Fawzan quotes evidence for this. He quotes two ayahs. وَهُوَ الْقَاهِرُ فَوْقَ عِبَادِهِ وَيُرْسِلُ عَلَيْكُمْ حَفَظًا وَهُوَ الْقَاهِرُ فَوْقَ عِبَادِهِ وَهُوَ الْحَكِيمُ الْخَبِيرُ وَهُوَ الْقَاهِرُ فَوْقَ عِبَادِهِ وَهُوَ الْحَكِيمُ الْخَبِيرُ. Surah Al-An'am, the sixth surah, ayah 18. And he is Al-Qahir, the invincible subduer, above his servants. And he is the all-wise, the all-aware. Then he quotes the second ayah. وَهُوَ الْقَاهِرُ فَوْقَ عِبَادِهِ وَيُرْسِلُ عَلَيْكُمْ حَفَظًا. Surah Al-An'am, the sixth surah, ayah 61. With the explanation, and he, Allah, is Al-Qahir, the invincible subduer, above his servants. And he sends down guardians over you. Sheikh Fawzan said, he has فَوْقِيَةُ الذَّاتِ وَفَوْقِيَةُ الْقَدْرِ وَفَوْقِيَةُ الْقَهْرِ Subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah the Most High has fawqiyya, exaltedness, being above and exalted with regard to His self, His that. And he has exaltedness of qadr, of status. And He has fawqiyya, exaltedness of al-qahr, supremacy. In all of these three senses, we affirm for Allah the Most High that He is above and exalted in all of these three senses. Firstly, that He is above fawq. Himself is above. Secondly, that He is exalted in status. And thirdly, exalted in the sense of al-qahr, supremacy. He, the Perfect and Most High. وَأَنْتَ الْبَاطِنُ فَلَيْسَ دُونَكَ شَيْءٍ. And Shaykh quotes the last part of the hadith he quoted. And you are al-batin, the one who is closest. So there is nothing closer than you. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, meaning that He knows everything. Nothing at all is hidden from Him. So He, along with the fact that He is high, He is above His created beings, then along with this, nothing is hidden from Him. From the innermost secrets and what their chests conceal. لا يخفى عليه شيء في الأرض ولا في السماء. Surah Al-Imran, the third surah, ayah 5. With the explanation, nothing whatever is hidden from Him in the earth nor in the heavens. Then Shaykh Fawzan said, and then people come who say, Allah the Majestic and Most High is not above, and He is not beneath, and He is not to the right, and He is not to the left, and He is not inside the universe, and He is not outside the universe. The Shaykh said, the meaning of this would be that He does not exist, as occurs in the books of the people of Kalam, people of theological rhetoric. This is what they say when they describe their Lord. This is the type of thing they say. That He is not above and He is not below. He is not to the right and He is not to the left. He is not inside the universe and He is not outside the universe. As the scholars have said, and Sheikh Al-Fawzan said here, that is a definition of something that does not exist. Something that's neither above nor below, nor to the right, nor to the left, nor inside the universe, nor outside the universe. Something doesn't exist then. This is the evil description that they give to their Lord. Then Sheikh Fawzan said, He's saying, يَعْلَمُ السِّرَّ وَأَخْفَى وَهُوَ عَلَىٰ عَرْشِهِ اسْتَوَىٰ. He's saying, he knows what is secret and what is most hidden, and he is ascended over his throne. And just on that last point, some of the people acknowledge, they mentioned, they stress the point, that these people, they refuse to affirm what Allah affirmed for himself, that Allah is above his throne. They refuse to affirm that. They flee away from that. They have a problem with that. And they flee into something which is far worse. They flee into affirming, or saying, or total negation. Allah is not to the right, to the left, not above, not below, not inside the universe, not outside. They run to, what they run to is far worse than what they run away from. They run to total negation. Then the point, Shaykh Fawzan said, he's saying, يَعْلَمُ السِّرَّ وَأَخْفَى وَهُوَ عَلَىٰ عَرْشِهِ اسْتَوَىٰ. He knows what is secret and what is most hidden, and he is ascended upon his throne. Shaykh said, so his knowing whatever is upon the earth, and whatever is beneath the earth, and whatever is under the soil, this does not contradict his being above his throne. Because Allah, the Majestic and Most High, encompasses everything, and nothing encompasses him, he the Perfect and Most High. And the whole of the creation, in comparison to him, is just tiny, like nothing at all. And he is Al-Azim, the tremendously great one, Al-Kabir, the incomparably great one, Al-Muta'al, the supreme and exalted one, Al-Jalil, the majestic and supreme, he the Perfect and Most High. So we do not make analogy between him and ourselves. Then Shaykh Fawzan quotes the ayah, وَمَا قَدَرُ اللَّهَ حَقَّ قَدَرِهِ وَالْأَرْضُ جَمِيعًا قَبْضَتُهُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ وَالسَّمَاوَاتُ مَطْوِيَّاتٌ بِيَمِينِهِ سُبْحَانُهُ وَتَعَالَىٰ عَمَّا يُشْرِكُونَ. Surah Az-Zumar, the 39th surah, ayah 67. With the explanation, they have not given Allah the respect and honor which is due to him. And the whole earth will be grasped by him on the day of resurrection. And the heavens will be rolled up in his right hand. Perfect is he. Perfect and exalted is he. And far removed from that which they associate with him. Shaykh Fawzan said, all the created things are in relation to him like nothing. Even if they are very great, even if they are very great created things, there's something very great in the eyes of the people. But with respect to him, they are like nothing. They are nothing before his tremendousness. He the Perfect and Most High. People, they do not give the honor and is his due. When they deny his ability and his greatness. And Shaykh Fawzan quotes a further ayah, يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسُ ضُرِبَ مَثَلٌ فَاسْتَمِئُوا لَهُ إِنَّ الَّذِينَ تَدْعُونَ مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ لَنْ يَخْلُقُوا ذُبَابًا وَلَوْ اجْتَمَعُوا لَهُ وَإِنْ يَسْلُبْهُمُ الذُّبَابُ شَيْئًا لَا يَسْتَنْقِذُوهُ مِنْهُ ضَعَفَ الطَّالِبُ وَالْمَطْلُوبُ مَا قَدَرُوا اللَّهَ حَقَّ قَدْرِهِ. Surah Al-Hajj, 22nd surah, ayah 73 to 74, with the explanation, O mankind, a similitude has been struck for you, so listen to it. Those whom you call upon besides Allah could never create even a fly, even if they gathered together to do it. And if the fly were to take something from them, from those idols that they depend upon them, and take something away, they could not rescue it from it Most idols couldn't even rescue something taken from them by a fly. Weak is the seeker and the one sought. And Tabari, is, Tabari explains that to mean weak is the idol and weak is the fly. They do not give Allah his due honor and respect. Sheikh Fawzan said, they do not recognize the tremendousness of Allah and his ability and his supremeness and his knowledge. So therefore, they draw analogy between him and themselves. And therefore, they belittle Allah, the mighty and majestic. Sheikh Fawzan said, if you people, all of you together, from the first of you to the last of you, all the jinn and all mankind, were to gather together to create a fly, the smallest thing, they would not be able to do so. Particularly those whom they call upon besides Allah, from those objects of worship and those false lords, they couldn't do it. All those things that they call upon for, besides Allah, all of them together, they couldn't do it. لَنْ يَخْلُقُوا ذُبَابًا وَلَوْ اجْتَمَعُوا لَهُ. The Shaykh quotes the part of the ayah again with explanation, they could never create a fly even if they all gathered together to do it. Shaykh Fawzan said, if the most proficient doctors gathered and the cleverest people in the world and the craftsmen and the inventors, and you were to say to them, produce a fly for us, just one fly, produce a fly for us, all of you together, doctors, the most clever doctors, most proficient doctors, cleverest, most skillful people in the world, craftsmen, the inventors, he said, make a fly, all of you together, make one fly. The Sheikh said, they would not be able to do it. Even though they are able to build huge ocean liners which contain airstrips and carry aeroplanes, and they can build huge aeroplanes, and they are able to build these things, but as for creating a fly and putting life into it, then they are not able to do it. They can draw a picture of a fly and of a person and of wild animals and the like, but they are not able to make any such thing walk and talk. They can just draw it with its details only. But as for breathing life into it, then this is from the command of Allah, the Majestic and Most High. So therefore, how can analogy be made between the Creator, the Majestic and Most High, and the creation? He is not reached by the intellects and people's thoughts, and he cannot be imagined by their thinking. He, the Perfect and Most High. And he said, he's saying, يَعْلَمُ السِّرَّ وَأَخْفَى وَهُوَ عَلَىٰ أَرْشِهِ اسْتَوَىٰ. He's saying, he knows whatever is secret and whatever is most hidden, and he is ascended over his throne. Sheikh Fawzan said, his being ascended over his throne does not contradict his knowing whatever is hidden and whatever is most secret. So it may not be said that because he is ascended over his throne, he is therefore distant from the people, and he does not hear and does not see, therefore. This cannot be said, the Shaykh said. For this is claiming tashbih, this is claiming that there is likeness between the Lord and the creation. So Allah, the Majestic and Most High, all things are the same to him. Nothing is hidden from him, he the Perfect and Most High. Something close or something far. The first of the creation and the last of them. this world or the hereafter. All of it is within the knowledge of Allah, the Perfect and Most High. The Perfect and Most High. And therefore this gigantic creation is caused to proceed by Him, He the Perfect, and by His ability and His will and His creating. إن الله يمسك السماوات والأرض أن تزولا ولا إن زالتا إن أمسكهما من أحد من بعده إنه كان حليما غفورا. Surah Fatir, the 35th surah, ayah 41, with the explanation: Allah holds the heavens and the earth so that they do not move away, and if they were to move away, then no one besides Him could hold them. Indeed, He is forbearing and He forgives extensively. The Shaykh said, the motion, the orbit of the stars and the orbit of the sun and the moon in this precise calculated manner, which does not alter and does not err and does not slip, who is the one who ordered it with this arrangement? He is Allah, the Majestic and Most High. The moon and the stars proceed in an orderly manner until Allah wishes the end of this world and moving on to the hereafter. He is the one who ordered it, the all-wise, the all-knowing, the Perfect and Most. Then you would realize the greatness of Allah, the Perfect and Most High. So when the people see a machine, a precise machine, and at its maker, but it's something small, it's a small thing, then how about this whole creation, which does not fail? Who causes it to persist? And who preserves it? Who is the one who preserves this creation, all of it, so that it does not alter and does not fail and does not miss out on anything? He is Allah, the Majestic and Most High. So these created things, the small ones and the large ones, who brings provision to them? Huge created things. Who is the one who produced provision for them? For each one in accordance with its own condition. He is Allah, the Majestic and Most High. So what is obligatory is to submit. Bearing all this in mind, in conclusion, what is obligatory is that we should submit to that which came from Allah, because He knows best about Himself, and that we submit to what came from Allah's Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because the Messenger is the one from the creation who knows best about his Lord, He the Perfect and Most High, and that we do not raise objections and we do not interfere with our intellects and our own thinking. Then Shaykh Fawzan said, so there is no contradiction between his being, in these two phrases brought by the author here, there's no contradiction between these two points of belief. There's no contradiction between his being, or there's no contradiction between his يَعْلَمُ السِّرَّ وَأَخْفَى وَهُوَ عَلَىٰ عَرْشِهِ اسْتَوَىٰ, between the fact that he knows whatever is secret and whatever is most hidden, and he is ascended over his throne. No contradiction between the two. His knowing everything, even the most hidden and secret things, and between the fact that he is above his throne. No contradiction. And his saying, وَعِلْمُهُ بِكُلِّ مَكَانٍ وَلَا يَخْلُو مِنْ عِلْمِهِ مَكَانٍ, the saying of the author, and his knowledge is in every place, and no place is empty or no place is free of his knowledge. Sheikh said, his knowledge is in every place. Inna Allah la yakhfa alayhi shay'un fil ardi wala fis sama'. Same ayah from Surah Ali Imran, the third surah, with explanation. Nothing whatever is hidden from Allah in the earth nor in the heavens. وَيَعْلَمُ مَا فِي الْبَرِّ وَالْبَحْرِ وَمَا تَسْقُطُ مِنْ وَرَقَةٍ إِلَّا يَعْلَمُهَا وَلَا حَبَّةٍ فِي ظُلُمَاتِ الْأَرْضِ وَلَا رَطْبٍ وَلَا يَابِسٍ إِلَّا فِي كِتَابٍ مُبِينٍ. Surah Al-An'am, the 6th surah, ayah 59. With the explanation, and he, Allah, knows whatever is in the land and in the sea. And no leaf falls except that he knows it. And there is no grain in the darkness of the earth. There's no grain in the darkest depths of the earth. Nor anything fresh, nor anything dry. Except that it is written in a clear book. وَهُوَ الَّذِي يَتَوَفَّاكُمْ بِاللَّيْلِ. Shaykh al-Fawzan moves on, quoted a separate ayah. The next ayah, that is, from Surah Al-An'am. And he quotes it part by part and explains it. وَهُوَ الَّذِي يَتَوَفَّاكُمْ بِاللَّيْلِ. Part of the ayah with the explanation. And he, Allah, is the one who takes your souls by night. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, meaning by in sleep, cause you to sleep. وَيَعْلَمُ مَا جَرَحْتُمْ. The explanation, and he knows whatever you do. Shaykh said, meaning whatever you earn, whatever deeds you earn. بِالنَّهَارِ ثُمَّ يَبْعَثُكُمْ فِيهِ. Complete the next part of the ayah from Surah Al-An'am, the 6th surah, ayah 60. The explanation, he knows whatever you do, whatever deeds you do in the day, and then he raises you up in it. Shaykh Fawzan said, meaning you get up from sleep. Who caused you to sleep in the first place? And who is it that caused you to wake up? He is Allah, the Perfect and Most High. So if you were to think about this creation, then this would lead you to realize the greatness of Allah. And you would submit to Allah, the Mighty and Majestic. If you were to reflect upon the speech of the Messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and what he informed about, with regard to events of the past and of the future, things which have occurred just as he informed, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Who guided him to know that? It was Allah, the Majestic and Most High. He is the one who revealed it to him. It was not from himself. Rather, it was just from Allah, the Mighty and Majestic. If you were to compare the ahadith, the sayings of the Messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if you were to compare them to the events that have occurred, you would be amazed. The Messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, mentioned to us about the lives of the prophets and the previous nations. He mentioned a great deal of that, even though his time was much later. Who made him aware of this? It was Allah, the Majestic and Most High. So this is indeed a proof that he is a messenger from Allah. This tremendous Quran, it is not possible that it could have come from other than Allah. قُلْ لَأَنِ اجْتَمَعَتِ الْإِنْسِ قُلْ لَإِنِ اجْتَمَعَتِ الْإِنْسُ وَالْجِنُّ عَلَىٰ أَنْ يَأْتُوا بِمِثْلِ هَذَا الْقُرْآنِ لَا يَأْتُوا بِمِثْلِهِ وَلَوْ كَانَ بَعْضُهُمْ لِبَعْضٍ ظَهِيرًا. Surah Al-Isra, 17th surah, ayah 88, with the explanation, say, if the whole of mankind and jinn were to gather together to bring the like of this Qur'an, they could not bring its like, even if they all tried to help each other. Shaykh Fawzan said, it is from the speech of Allah, the Majestic and Most High. And the Messenger was just one who conveyed the message from Allah, the Majestic and Most High. وَأُوحِيَ إِلَيَّ هَذَا الْقُرْآنَ لِأُنذِرَكُمْ بِهِ وَمَنْ بَلَغْ Surah Al-An'am, the 6th Surah, Ayah 19, with the explanation, and this Qur'an has been sent by revelation to me, to warn with it, and to warn whomever it reaches. So he was one who conveyed a message from Allah, the Majestic and Most High. And then comes a very brief point, which we'll mention, inshallah, and finish on. Point number 12 in the book, what occurs is point number 15 in the translation, that the author, rahimahullah, he said, وَلَا يَقُولُ فِي صِفَاتِ الرَّبِّ تَعَالَى كَيْفَ وَلِمَا إِلَّا شَاكٌ فِي اللَّهِ تَبَارَكَ وَتَعَالَى. The author, Imam al-Barbahari, rahimahullah, he said, and no one says regarding the attributes of the Lord, the Most High, كَيْفَ, how, and لِمَا, why, except for one who doubts about Allah, the Exalted and Most High. Shaykh al-Fawzan said in explanation, the kayfiyya, how, is not to be asked about. The how of regard to Allah's attributes, how they are, is not to be asked about. And the ta'leel, the reason why he said such and such, is not to be asked about. Rather, one should submit to Allah, the Mighty and Majestic, because no one knows the how, the kayfiyya, except for Allah, the Perfect and Most High. And that's where Shaykh Fawzan ends explanation at this point. And just very, very briefly, Shaykh Salih al-Suhaimi, Hafidhullah, he adds a point on this point here. He said, no one should say lima, why? Or no one will say lima with regard to Allah's attributes. Why is that? Except one who doubts about the attributes of Allah the Most High. A person who is always afflicted with lima, why? Why is this? And kaifa, how is that? And this saying comes out in the slips of his upon the slips of his tongue. This person is in danger. He is in danger. Indeed, he is at the limit of danger. And for this reason, the companions, the Sahaba, when revelation came down to them, أيقنوا وصدقوا, they believed in it with certainty, and they attested to it. And they did not ask, لماذا, why is this? And كيف, how is that, how? Rather, they submitted to everything which Allah informed of, open-heartedly, and accepting it fully. So therefore, they did not ask, لِمَاذَا and كَيْفَ, why and how. وَالْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ وَصَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَى مُحَمَّدٍ وَسُبْحَانَكَ اللَّهُمَّ وَبِحَمْدِكَ أَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا أَنْتَ أَسْتَغْفِرُكَ وَأَتُوبُ إِلَيْكَ. بارك الله فيكم.